All right. Hebrews chapter 9. Thank you. Apparently, I don't know my directions. So, I had a coffee meeting with Mark to talk about this section. Mostly we talked about verses 6 through 18. And so he was very excited about this, and he's a little disappointed that he doesn't get to be part of this discussion. So Mark, I hope you can hear this. Okay. And so we're gonna talk about some of the things that he and I talked about. We had a really good discussion that probably lasted close to 2 hours. So lucky for you guys, you don't get to relive all of that. There's some very interesting things that take place here, even though he's mostly talking about that previous worship in the temple. And I'm going to start by asking a question. And is there something you have done that now maybe you didn't realize it was wrong when you did it, but now you realize it was wrong and you have not forgiven yourself over? Miss Kay is talking and I can't hear her. Yeah, and I think you just answered where I was going with this. So I guess we're done. I mean, you just answered. Well, let's back up to the original question. But that's where I want to go with this. Okay, is there something that you've done that you've just not forgiven yourself over? No matter how long ago it was. Is there anybody in this room? You don't have to tell me. If you want to tell me, you can. But if you have, just kind of like raise your hand so we have a general idea. Okay. Do any of you want to share? Nope, you don't want to confess your sins to one another? Okay. Really? You? You have a bad temper? Yeah. Well, growing up is a continuous process. And of course you're going to make mistakes. And actually, I think part of what I'm going to talk about tonight for my sermon actually has somewhat to do with what you're talking about right now. And you grow and you learn, and sometimes I think it's those moments that bother us, even though we're well past them, we've achieved that growth. we are not, we see them as shameful in our lives. So I had this, when I was in the military, I was in AIT, which is your job training. It's where you go to learn your job. And there was this guy who, for some reason or not, he would tease me all the time. All the time. This went on for almost 9 straight weeks. And I did everything I could to avoid this guy. But I couldn't because he was in my platoon. So I had to see him every single day. And it was really, really frustrating. So one day, about 6 weeks in, I got sick. And I got sick for about 3 or 4 days, and that caused me to miss 3 or 4 days worth of classes. Well, we had these tests we had to take, and so I missed these tests, so the guy's like, okay, here's the information you need. I'll give you about half an hour to study, and then you're going to take this test. Well, that was 3 or 4 days of information that he wanted me to cram in half an hour. So I tried to do it, but I failed the test. And he's like, okay, well, since you failed this test, you can't move on until you pass it. So we're gonna hold you back a week. And you're going to have to stay here an extra week. This ended up being a blessing because I ended up not being in that class and I got to avoid him mostly. But that was a very, very bad day for me because I found out I was going to be there another week and I did not want to be there another week. And so when he started teasing me, at that point I decided I wasn't going to stay silent about it. And I just let him have it. I said things that I would never say to anybody, that I have never said to anybody in my whole life, that I decided I was going to say to this guy. This was when I was 18 years old? Yeah, 18 years old. So I'm 35 now. This is 17 years ago. And that thing still haunts me to this day. Because I knew better, and I lost my temper. Now, I could blame it on the fact that I was having a bad day, but I also know that I'm supposed to be better than that. And the other thing is I don't even remember who this guy is. If I wanted to go and apologize to him, I have no way of finding out who he is. So the only forgiveness I can seek, there's two. There's two forgivenesses I can seek. I can seek forgiveness for God and forgiveness for myself. Well, yes, I've sought forgiveness for God, and everything I know about the Scriptures tells me that he forgives me. Maybe one day he will make me confront this person again and make me realize that this is the person that I did this to. Because if he walked in this room right now, I probably would have no clue it was him. But it still bothers me. 17 years later.
George?
That is true. And I think that's one of the reasons that this particular incident bothers me more than almost anything else, is that it wasn't something I did in ignorance, but it was something I did in anger. In fact, if I could think about all the things that I would beat myself up about, it's all the things I did in anger, not in ignorance. Sometimes you just don't know better. So I do, before we move on to the text, I want to talk about one more thing which goes along with all of this that we've been having. And this may be easy or not easy, depending on your knowledge of Scripture, is there a sin that's unforgivable? Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Paul says that this is the only unforgivable sin. Is anybody in this room blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? Or have they? Yeah. I would say that might be part of it. I don't think that's just it, though. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know how we've been talking in John chapter 8? John tells them that if you don't believe in me, you obviously don't believe in the Father. And so I think that it's like you could say you believe in Jesus, you could say you believe in God, but if you're also not, if you're also condemning or, well, this goes along with what you were saying, not believing in the Holy Spirit, then it's just the same thing. That's pretty much exactly what you were saying. Now that you said. All right, yeah, you're probably right. Unless someone else can offer a better one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to say the truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Paul. Look at your sins. We do deem some sins greater than others, right? Yeah. We might even call them, some people have called them deadly. I think deadly has to do with their nature, about how much they can corrupt your spirit. But really, we see that all sin is equal in the eyes of God. So our justification of sins is what makes them, why we deem them worse or better. So we see that if there's only one thing that we know of that cannot be forgiven, why do we beat ourselves up about it? And this is what you were saying, Casus, where I was going with all of it, is because we really don't, we really are tougher on ourselves than anyone else. The most supreme being ever to exist forgives us, and we think we know better to say, well, I'm not really forgiven. So all this was part of the discussion that Mark and I had on Thursday in this, which is a summary of what's going on here in verse 8. Of chapter 9. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy place is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is a symbol of the present age. According according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings according to the body imposed until the time of reformation. So we focus a lot of what does it mean to perfect the conscience. We have this old system, this system that had thousands of priests and one high priest who would one day, one time a year, on the Day of Atonement, would go and they would lay their hands on a goat and they would offer blood in the Holy of Holies. The goat was released into the wilderness. Scapegoat. That's where we get our word scapegoat for, by the way. On behalf of the sins of Israel, in the hopes of that God might forgive those sins. Does God forgive those sins? Yes, we are no longer under that law because it is an imperfect law. Yeah, I'm not sure if God forgives those sins or not. I asked Mark, and Mark said no, he doesn't. The sins when the priest the sins for the year, and even if it does, it still shows the imperfectness of the thing of the sacrifice system. That it would always be necessary. The minute that was over, well, then the new rounds of sins began. So that you were always constantly living in a state of sin, and so this is where the consciousness comes into play, is that you are aware, if anything, the law only makes you aware of one thing. The law doesn't give you forgiveness. It makes you aware of your sins. Yes. So this imperfect system took blood. But so does the new system. The new system takes blood as well. Yeah, but a more perfect blood. And so while we might be aware of our sins now, now we have a new type of awareness, not the awareness of the fact that we have sin, because we do have sin, but that sin is forgiven through a much better system. And we have so much here to back it up, and I'm going to focus on two scriptures, and one of them I know you guys are very familiar with, and that's Acts 2:38. So we get our forgiveness through repentance, and Acts 2:38, baptize. Our repentance, our forgiveness comes from repentance and baptism, which we then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But also another one, and this is 1 Peter 3:21. So we can turn there really quick. Yes. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you as not as removal of dirt from the body, but as the appeal to God for a good conscience. Also, here we have that conscience again. Through the resurrection of Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. So what do we see about this state of conscience? Actually, let's back up a bit. What is your conscience? Jab? A vocal moral compass, exactly. So every time I hear the word conscience, there's a particular thing I think of. A cricket. Jiminy Cricket. Because Jiminy Cricket act as a moral compass to Pinocchio. And so what did Jiminy Cricket, he basically went around and he talked to Pinocchio in the movie. He basically told Pinocchio what was right and what was wrong. You know what's very, very interesting about that? Is that I don't know how many, it's kind of an old movie, so I don't know if you've seen it or even when the last time when you was seen it, you did see it. But in the movie, there's a number of times where Pinocchio ignores his conscience. And I thought that was, and as an adult, as a kid, I didn't really notice that. But as an adult, thinking back on that, it's just like, wow, how many times do we ignore our conscience? Or make excuses? Especially when confronted with the facts. So you have Jesus in chapter 8. We're talking about John chapter 8 today in my lesson. And so Jesus is telling the religious leaders the facts. And what are they doing? They're getting angry with him. In fact, at one point, they insult him. They call him names. And so there's a point in the text where he stops talking to the religious leaders, and he starts talking to, it says, the Jews that believe him, in hopes of appealing to their conscience. And so this is what the new system is supposed to do to us, and this is the reason he's writing to them about it, and I think this is probably the reason he uses the word conscience, is he wants them to realize that the conscious mind will, in the old system, will only condemn them. But in the new system, the conscious mind will realize that there's forgiveness. So when we come to practical application of the scripture, our conscious mind should tell us that if you seek forgiveness, God and repentance, I think repentance is very important there, God will forgive you. Yeah. George says 70 times 7. So I... yes, that might be a very good... How many times are you sinning, Shirley? Every day. You are very honest about it. So every time you sin, you should seek forgiveness. But you're only baptized. You only need to be baptized once. That is in accordance to all future sins. But repentance is an ongoing process, and so this is where Mark and I disagreed about about what it means to have a conscious mind. It's because I see the conscious mind as being more of aware, not just guiding your but also to show you that you also need to be aware of those sins so you continue to seek repentance and forgiveness. It's not something you need to beat yourself up about, but it's hopefully to teach you to learn from your mistakes. Sorry? Growth. Yes, something that we're always doing, even as adults. And even at 85 or how old, old you are, Shirley, I'm going to guess 62. That way I don't get into trouble. Yes, that's what we were talking about. Are you going to mess up in the future even if you are aware of your sins? Yeah. Rebecca, you said you had anger problems. And it's important that you recognize that you have anger problems. And maybe your anger problems are a lot less now than they were 10 years ago. But you still realize that they're a problem for you. I have this disease that my father dubbed foot and mouth. And I am very aware of that. And so I try very, very hard to not stick my foot in there. But I'm also very good about doing that. And that's why I have this. And that's why I have people like my wife or my brothers and sisters that I would hope, because a lot of this, I think, does go back to awareness. Maybe I'm not even aware that I'm doing it. That's probably one of the reasons why when he talks earlier about the rituals, it says they were offered for the unintentional sins. Because our sins, we might have unintentional sins. Exactly. That's also why we need to go to each other in love and confront them confront each other about the sins that they are doing. Self-reflection is a huge part of that, but sometimes you can't self-reflect if you're not aware. Anyway, this was a very good...
Yeah.
we will pick this discussion back up next week. Had a lot of good things to say about it. Let's close out in a prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for a much